Now, what happens in this form of moral casuistry and making these little decisions is that church regulations and genuine moral obligations tend to merge one into the other in a fairly confusing fashion. Thus, we get to the anomaly of Roman Catholics when I was growing up, of thinking that if they don't fast on Friday, they have fundamentally committed a mortal transgression and displeased God, and would have to confess that as a sin. That's a purely church regulation which has taken on a moral valence. So there's a lot of confusion that enters in to the complexity of Christian moral teaching as it developed. In particular, let me turn at the end of this presentation to one of the fundamental struggles within Christianity, which is that of a consistent public moral stance. As we saw, Christianity's first experience as a struggling sect was its own identity vis-a-vis Judaism and Hellenism. You know, how can we be a holy people? How can we be the saints over against the world? It was a countercultural phenomenon. It wasn't legislating for society. And so it was ill-prepared to become the legislator for the imperial system. The writings of the New Testament are so diverse, they are so historically conditioned, that they are ill-fitted to provide moral guidance for an entire society. And Christians have, over and over again, experienced precisely this kind of difficulty. First of all, the New Testament doesn't address a great many things that a society needs to have addressed. It doesn't describe what Christian music should be like, what Christian educational system should be like. You know, how should bridges be built? It simply is not a law book in that sense, in the way, in fact, that the Quran is, or even that the Law of Moses is, showing how agriculture should be carried out. So it doesn't talk about a lot of things that need to be talked about. Secondly, the stuff it does talk about, it tends to talk about in a countercultural way rather than in a way that builds society. Can you really not have any kind of divorce and still survive? I mean, this is in the New Testament, we find Christians struggling with the severity of Jesus' commandment on divorce. Well, maybe there are some exceptions. And because these are written for a Greco-Roman society, they also say things that are very difficult for Christians to live by. For example, they certainly approve of slavery. And Christians have had to struggle with that in terms of the wider spectrum of society. So if you look at the New Testament and you say, what does the New Testament have to say about X? The right answer is usually, what did you read last? So it has very different views on how one should regard, for example, the governance of the state. In Romans 13 and in 1 Peter, the emperor is fine. Obey the emperor. The emperor is a good person. If you read the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the emperor and Rome, the imperial power, is a great beast which enslaves people, and you should resist it with all of your might. So it is very difficult to construct a coherent Christian social ethic. And so Christians today tend to find themselves struggling between two extremes, morally. On the one side, Christians tend to opt for a highly individualistic morality, a sort of a cultivation of the self. They take care in their sexual behavior, their familial relations, their emotions. This is, of course, especially in first world countries where we're comfortable enough to be able to nurture the self as a moral agent. And in many cases, that sort of individualistic ethic is perfectly comfortable with baptizing capitalism and forces of aggression and of competition and so forth. On the other side, you have those who opt for a highly engaged ethic, liberation theology in particular, which sees sin, not in terms of people's individual morality, but in oppressive and evil social structures, and do everything they can in order to combat the oppression of the poor, sexism and the oppression of women, the oppression of children, and the enslavement of people economically. Their sense of moral mission is to change the social structures of society in the name of Christ.